Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to your Hollywood Crime Scene mini episode.
Hello.
Desi, can you believe how many Korn fans we have that listen to this podcast?
I can't. I mean, yeah, we've got so many emails or messages of people letting us know that they actually like Korn. So,
well,
I stand corrected.
You should. You should.
Because look, I couldn't name a Korn song if it was played for me. I mean, maybe I could.
Maybe.
But I wouldn't know until someone's like, that's Korn. I'd be like, oh yeah, I've heard that.
You probably would know something.
Okay.
We were talking about Korn a little bit on the Ashley Simpson recap on our Patreon.
Trust me. Naturally.
Trust me, it makes sense. It'll make sense when you listen to it. Those things...
That episode went off the rails several times. Where I was like, wait, where are we still recording? Because I didn't even know what we were doing anymore. It had been so long since we touched on Ashley.
Yeah, it was a pop culture K-hole.
Yeah, for sure.
But because we have so many millennial listeners, and then apparently Gen Z is like, Gen Z is reviving nu metal. That's what I've heard.
Oh.
Like, I think they think it's cool now.
That's their, like, 70s rock.
Yeah. Which is fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's cool. I think it's funny.
I like hearing old music. Like, that's very of a time.
It is
at any time. That if it is, like, very sort of that time, I like hearing it, no matter what.
The funny thing about nu metal, though, is it was such a short time. It was such a brief period in pop culture, and as soon as it went out, everyone was like, ugh, that was embarrassing.
It flamed out fast.
It was sort of like post Nut Clarity, but with nu metal.
Absolutely.
Like, because all of a sudden the Strokes came in and revived rock and roll.
And it was, yeah, the next music that came after nu metal was an absolute rebuffing of all that came the past few years. Like, it was like, fuck this, we're going back to basics.
Yeah.
So it was like an insult.
It was like the New York City garage rock scene.
Yeah, it's like we're like the New York Dolls and like funk, you know, gritty garage rock.
And like hot guys.
Yeah.
Who didn't have eyebrow piercings.
Shaggy hair.
Everyone's taking their eyebrow piercings out and they're like, ugh, what am I going to do about this tribal tattoo around my bicep now? That's forever.
There was a lot of style mistakes related to nu metal.
Yeah, because nu metal, really, if you think about it, its peak was like, or the years, it was like, it spanned from like 98 to 2000.
Yeah.
And then the Strokes album came out in 2001. It was like, ugh, what were we thinking?
No, it's like, we like the Strokes, the Vines. We don't
want the Hive. The Hive.
We want some the in front of our name.
Obviously the White Stripes.
Yeah.
They came out that era too.
Yeah. No, that was the new thing. And the old stuff was for losers. Not my opinion, just the way it was.
But what an impact. An impact nu metal had.
So now it's having its comeback.
I think Gen Z also is kind of with the nu metal style too a bit, because they love baggy pants and like certain nu metal aesthetics I see has been like revived among Gen Z.
Wow.
I think it's funny.
It is funny. It's funny to see what they want back.
Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how when I was in high school, I wore a members only jacket, and I just know some like older Gen Xer was like, those weren't cool.
Yeah.
When I was a teen, like those weren't actually cool.
Right.
But I thought it was cool because I'm like, oh, this is ironic.
Yeah. You got to put that irony on it, babe.
Ugh. That was irony was so big. Anyway, let's talk about our news stories. We have quite a few plane stories.
Oh.
What is going on in the skies?
I don't know, but get me away from there.
The
I'm scared
so
to fly.
Friendly skies.
Yeah.
I'm really scared to fly now, and I don't know if this is just like, oh, we're just...
We used to be scared of plane crashes. Now we're scared of passengers, too.
No, I'm talking about planes breaking apart.
Oh, there's more breaking apart planes?
Yes, Desi.
Oh,
that's
no.
That's why I'm afraid to fly.
Well, that's a new thing.
Boeing is like needs to get its shit together.
What are they doing? That's all they fucking do is make planes. You think you'd be good at it.
You have one job, and it's to make an airplane, and you can't even do that?
Why, and also, why is this? I've never heard of this. It's like a new thing, right? Like, I don't remember planes breaking apart.
Ever.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm wondering. Is this a genuinely new phenomenon, or is this just something everyone's reporting on every incident now? Because it's like
maybe
in the news. But I don't know. I would believe, like, this is just, like, CEOs are so greedy now that they're just doing the bare minimum.
There's also, because of social media and cameras, I think they can't get away with it as much, probably, because people now are like filming things and like, look at these bolts are coming out and with pictures and putting it online.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I think they just do get blown up a bit more, but CEOs are also cheap.
But this story is horrific. This is from the New York Times. Delta Airlines Boeing 757 lost nose wheel before takeoff. So that little, those wheels that are on the nose of the plane.
Yeah.
Those came off. Thankfully, it was before takeoff. It says a Boeing 757 plane operated by Delta Airlines lost a nose wheel as it prepared to take off from Atlanta's main airport on Saturday, according to the FAA. It was the latest troubling episode involving one of the manufacturer's aircraft. Delta Airlines Flight 982 was preparing to take off from Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport for a trip to Bogota, Colombia at about 11:15 a.m. Saturday when, quote, a nose wheel came off and rolled down the hill. More than 170 passengers who were aboard had to deplane, but no one was hurt. That's horrible.
Cut to a day before, one mechanic going, hey, Rolo, did you screw back on that nose wheel? He has his earbuds in blasting new metal. And he's like, yeah. Not hearing the question.
He just does a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Because he's fucking, he's had it with Tyler. He doesn't want to talk. He's like, yeah, Tyler's, he's fucking
he's just
nagging
saying,
me again.
Yeah. It's like a child parent relationship. He's done.
Rolo's done.
Rolo is mad.
He wants to keep, in the words of Limp Bizkit, rolling. So the manufacturer faces renewed scrutiny after a door plug blew off a new Alaska Airlines Boeing 737 MAX 9 plane at 16,000 feet on January 5th. We reported that story.
Yeah, that's a little scarier.
It's less scary that this happened on the runway.
Yeah.
And it's also less scary that it was like, well, I guess that would be a problem when you're landing, that the wheel.
But you could still land without the nose wheel, probably. It just would skid, like, have that. It would be really bad sound.
Yeah. It would be terrifying for a few minutes.
Yeah.
I think they need to figure out what's going on. Boeing needs to get their shit together.
Yeah, it's like, you'd think that, as a CEO, at the very least, you guys need to be on top of your shit for like at least a few months.
Yeah.
You know, then we can go back to sloppy work. Like, we can't have another bad news story come out. Like,
no.
You know what I mean? Like,
no, it's bad. We do have a story about a problem passenger.
Ooh.
This is from Newsweek. Flight turns around after drunk passenger bites plane crew.
Damn.
So this wasn't the airline's fault.
No.
This was a plane bound for the U.S. was forced to turn around after a passenger said to be drunk allegedly bit a member of the flight crew. The assailant, a 55-year-old man, is an American national. Why am I not surprised he was one of ours?
Where was this?
This is flying out of China.
Oh, okay.
Wait. No, was it? It might be Japan. It was all Nippon Airways.
Okay,
but this is. It was originally reported in the South China Morning Post.
Got it.
A total of 159 passengers were on board at the time. They were forced to return to Haneda Airport in Tokyo. So yeah, it was a flight from Tokyo to Seattle. The man, quote, doesn't recall at all the alleged incident on the flight after taking a sleeping pill. So this might have been like an Ambien incident.
Always blame Ambien.
We haven't heard about Ambien causing trouble in a while. That was like, those were like all kinds of Ambien stories for a while.
Yeah.
People were doing all kinds of weird shit on that pill.
This guy didn't learn.
No. The incident comes just 10 days after an ANA flight in Japan returned to an airport because of a crack reported in the cockpit window. This is global, Desi.
Yeah.
This is a problem.
Not that there's an excuse, but do we know why he bit the flight crew? Sorry. Like, what was the incident?
It doesn't say. The guy just says he doesn't know why he did it. We need more information.
So they were probably trying to be like, sit down, sir.
But listen to this. A report published last year showed that analysis by the International Air Transport Association that bad behavior on flights has increased 47% in the year 2021 to 2022. This confirms or strengthens my hypothesis about COVID brain damage and just COVID in general.
I don't even, that could be an aspect of it, but I do think it made people behave horribly so in social situations or in public.
Yeah.
Like they forgot how to behave like a normal person in public.
I agree.
It's like,
I think it's a combination of the two.
Yeah. Cause yeah, I don't know why we're hearing so many stories. Like people are acting horribly on these airplanes and I'm going to be the one who stands up to them if it happens to me.
I want to see that.
I'm going to be on fucking Twitter, a video, and everyone's going to be like, look at this queen. That's the goal.
Yeah. You're going to go, excuse me.
Can you sit the fuck down? And everyone on the airline cheers.
They clap and cheer.
I mean, that's, you have those little fantasies.
And then our podcast goes viral too.
Finally. And I'm like, and I'm on Hollywood Crime Scene. Yeah, you check
gotta,
it out.
You got to put that in the video. Make sure you shout the name of the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, incidents involving unruly behavior occurred on around one in every 835 flights in 2021, then rose one in every 568 flights a year later. What is considered to be unruly behavior includes noncompliance, verbal abuse, and intoxication, as well as physical abuse.
I, first of all, I don't think there's any excuse for behaving this way.
No.
But
no,
I do think the airlines treat people like shit and they get mad and get frustrated, and it amps up. It starts the ball rolling sometimes.
Yeah, it does set the ball rolling. I think that can absolutely be factored into what contributes to this unruly behavior. But regardless of how shitty air travel is,
you're an adult.
You're an adult, and you need to keep it cool and not bite the flight crew.
Well, that's just out of control. I can see people getting cranky and rude when they're irritable. Like if I was hungry, maybe I'd say something not in the nicest way, but immediately I'd be like, I'm sorry, I didn't eat.
Did you see this horse speak? It's kind of adjacent, but I mean, it's more the fault of, I think it was some rag that posted this trying to be sensational about the woman who had purchased two seats on the flight.
I did see that.
And they were trying to shame this woman.
That was unbelievable.
It was so outrageous. This woman had purchased two seats on an airline. She's a larger woman. And so she had purchased two seats on the flight, which is very expensive. And
what everyone says, you know, to do.
Like yeah.
When people are trying to be mean right. to larger people, it's like, well, why don't you buy two seats? So
right.
It's like, it's the thing they always say. So she actually did it.
She actually did it. And she's minding her own business. And apparently someone's toddler wanted to sit in the seat. And she said, no, these are my two seats. And so one of these rags, I think it was the New York Post.
It was.
they like were trying to shame this woman. They even showed a picture of her in the article sitting in her seat.
Well, the headline is very misleading because if you just read the headline, it says woman refuses to give up second seats for a toddler as if she's just taking two and won't give it to, but not right. saying that she actually bought both of those seats.
Yes.
It's like, get your fucking toddler. And the woman who had the toddler didn't buy her toddler a seat.
Right.
So she's actually the one who is the issue.
Okay, here's the inflammatory headline from the New York Post. I'm obese and refuse to give up my second seat on a plane for a toddler.
No, it makes her look like a bitch.
This is outrageous.
And I think it did get a community note, though.
I hope it did.
I saw that.
I mean, this woman, she's a plus-size travel influencer named Jalen Chaney. And she says, airlines should create policies to make travel more comfortable and accessible for everyone. I agree, Jalen. And I don't think this woman should be shamed for trying to fly comfortably.
It's ridiculous that they sold it the way they did. Absolutely. It's not a story. The story is the woman with the toddler being a bitch.
Exactly.
That's the story.
That's the story. This woman had the audacity to harass this woman because she was trying to be comfortable on a flight.
No, that was crazy. Because when I saw it, it sounds one way. And then when you read the article, you're like, oh.
And our final air travel story comes from People. Excessively farting passenger reportedly causes American Airlines flight to turn around.
What is excessive?
I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
We all breathed a sigh of relief when he was removed, a witness said to the gassy passenger. A witness to the gassy passenger wrote on Reddit. So this all comes from a Reddit post. But this made the news. Look, people picked it up.
Yeah.
So
slow news week.
A flight was reportedly delayed after the plane ran into some unexpected flatulence.
It's not turbulence.
An excessively gassy passenger who had to be removed. The January 4th incident was documented by a Texas-based Reddit user, Lam Galitex. Reddit names are like impossible to read, I'm going to be honest. Who wrote about the smelly situation on American Airlines flight from Phoenix to Austin. That's a short flight.
Yeah. Why would you have to
turn it around?
This is getting sus.
American Airlines did not immediately respond to People's request for comment. This is what the Redditor said. I was seated near the row where this situation occurred, the passenger recalled in the Austin subreddit. While the airplane was still at the gate, the documentarian said that they saw and heard, quote, an audibly disgruntled and maybe hungover man. He reportedly exclaimed, "You thought that was rude? Well, how about this smell?" And then proceeded to loudly pass gas.
Oh, so he's aggressively farting.
Aggressive. It's like he's using it as a weapon.
I don't like that.
No, I don't like that either. I don't know what provoked that comment. And while kind of funny to overhear, it was uncalled for, especially coming from a grown man on an airplane nonetheless, the user continued. But the transgression didn't end there. The man who was just purposefully... who just purposefully farted moments ago, decides to loudly and condescendingly say, "Yeah, everybody, let's just eat the smelliest food possible all at the same time." In response, a man in the next row reportedly remarked, "If you don't like it, you can fly private," to which the gassy passenger replied, "That's so fucking rude." Another passenger chimed in, "I think we all agree you're the rude one here."
Why is this dialogue so believable? Because it's not that good. Like the owns aren't that good.
Yeah,
it's
they're
very
not,
basic.
They're not too clever.
No.
The spat continues with the flatulent flyer responding, "That's just so low class." I love that guy said this is low class.
Yeah.
Before another nearby passenger said, "Well, you're back here in economy with the rest of us."
He was waiting to say something.
So it sounds like the scuffle caused this plane to turn around.
Right. The farting.
The scuffle caused the plane, which had left the gate and had been moving toward the runway for takeoff, to stop and return to the gate. Oh. So it wasn't in the air.
Okay. That makes sense.
At this point, the flight crew had to get involved. We get back to the gate and a flight attendant comes back and informs Fartman.
Frightman.
That's what it says, that he will not be staying on this flight. He simply replies, "I don't understand." And she tells him that they'll talk about it off the plane. He gets up, grabs his bag, and quietly exits the plane. We all breathed a sigh of relief when he was removed. I think most of the people were on an edge about what he may say or do next.
See, but the thing he should have done that would have actually taken this to a next level is toot down the hall.
Yeah. Down the aisle. Yeah. Just like...
silent with like a look of indignation on his face.
That would have
taken
it. Can
you imagine watching that go? I would be in fucking tears.
I would too. I'd be disgusted but in tears laughing.
No, I would have laughed so hard because it would have been genius.
I would have respected him at that point.
Guys are so good on farting on command.
It's
how
disturbing.
Do they do it? Do they always just have a big excess of gas waiting?
They got like a storage.
And they take it, they like save it. Like, I'm going to bank this gas, save it for when I need it to confront someone.
Yeah, they were able to like punctuate a sentence with a fart.
It's crazy. Are women just trained to like hold it in better? And or like never let it out in
Men
front of people?
Men are just disgusting.
I guess.
No offense. Okay, we have a story from New Jersey.
Ooh.
This is from their local Fox affiliate. A New Jersey house was vandalized with pepperoni. As an Italian, it hurts my heart. Heather Doherty of New Jersey says she woke up Wednesday morning to find pepperoni or something like it strewn all over her property. "What is this?" Doherty said to herself that morning. "I am on camera, so I cannot say the words I exactly use, but what is this?"
So like, what the fuck is this?
The pieces of meat were placed on her doorstep and all the way to her car. From the door to the edge of the porch and then strategically placed down the stairs to the driveway and four slices on the hood and four slices on the trunk. So they were on her car and on the steps. This sounds like it was like an artfully done pepperoni.
Is this an Italian-American hate crime? Like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
Are like they after her?
Doherty has lived in Manville all her life, including 16 years at her current home. She said her house has never been vandalized before, not even on Halloween. "We're trying to figure out who goes around and leaves, who goes around with two loaves of pepperoni in the middle of the night and cuts it up into slices." Well, they were like the weren't cut. They weren't sliced pepperoni.
So the pepperonis were like the sausage looking things?
Yeah. And someone cut them up.
Well, that's so much work.
Themselves. They didn't even just get slices.
I would have gotten slices.
"We're trying to figure out who goes around with two loaves of pepperoni in the middle of the night and cuts it up into slices and throws it on people's property," said Doherty. "You have nothing better to do with your time?"
No.
Doherty called Manville police to report what happened. She's worried the grease from the meat sitting on her car could ruin the paint.
Okay, now she's going too far.
Well, her local body, a local body shop said it is possible in certain circumstances. "Pepperoni cannot damage car paint if it doesn't sit for a really long time," said Ricardo Ludena of Gifford Auto Body in Manville.
We had to get the expert opinion.
"It can damage if it's sitting around, especially on a hot day. Spending a lifetime in the business of pepperoni, the owner of Manville Pizza," so they got a pepperoni expert,
I
too.
Love this reporter.
This reporter.
They're really going for it.
This is great journalism.
I agree.
This person should get a Pulitzer.
It's so in-depth.
So they interviewed Anthony Dianello, who is the owner of Manville Pizza. He said that the meat looks larger than the kind you'd use on a pizza.
Oh.
So he's like analyzing this pepperoni.
What does that mean?
Danilo identified the meat as a salami in the family of pepperoni. Quote, "Exactly what kind, I cannot be certain," he said.
That makes sense because pepperoni is typically sliced, whereas a salami would be in a tube, more likely.
He's the one who said, as an Italian, it hurts the heart.
Oh, he's the one who said that. That makes sense.
The pizza shop owner. Doherty says she acknowledges the humor in the incident. She said, "I mean, I even made a joke and called them the pepperoni bandits."
Well, work on that. We're going to workshop that one.
I mean, they're not bandits. They're also, like the pepperoni vandals.
At least get like a little alliteration going.
The pepperoni perpetrators.
Yes, the pepperoni perps.
It is funny. However, it's wrong, she said. There is some pictures of this. It's pretty alarming looking. I mean, these are like big.
She's lived in Manville all her.
Oh, God.
Let me just rewind this so you can see this, Desi.
It's a meat mystery.
What is this? Like, I'm on camera, so I can't say the words that I exactly used, but what is this?
Oh. Adam Doherty says she woke up Wednesday morning to what she thinks.
It's just chunks of salami all over her front steps.
Pepperoni.
From the door to the edge of the porch, and then strategically placed.
Wow. I mean, these are, like, not expertly sliced.
I'm shocked that they sliced it. Like, that's crazy to me. To walk around just slicing pepperoni everywhere like that. Because you picture them just holding it up with like a bread knife.
Yeah.
Like sawing it.
Because this isn't thin sliced.
No.
This is not thin sliced. Oh, here's Ricardo, the body shop owner. They interviewed him about the effects of pepperoni on your car. And then here's the pizzeria guy. Look at him. He's dressed like a pizzeria owner. He's got like a little red striped shirt.
It hurts the heart. Just give me a slice of plain and a
white. Wow. That looks good.
It's like a Sicilian style pizza.
It's so greasy.
At this place.
Like in a good way.
No, it looks delicious. I guess that's all our news stories.
Okay.
We can take a break here and we'll be right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Desi, what'd you watch this week?
Well, I'm watching all of the same things, but I did have a podcast recommendation, finally. Not when we needed them, but now I do. Mm. It's really good. It's called Who Cares About the Rock Hall? And it's about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which sounds maybe not that interesting. But every year they go into it because the nominations are about to come out. This is hosted by Joe Quazzala and Kristen Studdard. I'm telling you, I only listened to like 1.5 episodes. And the one I'm listening to right now, they're telling everyone who's eligible this year. So these are bands from 1999.
Okay.
And so they'll play like the start of a song. So he put them in order from like the least likely to get into the most. So I'm in the least likely section right now. So it's people like B.B. Mac and like... So the guests have to guess in like the first few seconds, and it's very funny. I'm laughing out loud because some of the songs is very similar to when we go back and talk about music from that time. So it's like, you know, Drowning Pool. It's just very funny. And then I also listen to their draft picks of who they think will get the nominations.
Oh,
it's a really good podcast. The hosts are very charming and knowledgeable, and it's one of those podcasts that didn't take me any, you know how sometimes you start and it takes you a while to get used to the host?
Yeah.
I was right in with them from the first time I listened. So I highly recommend it. Even if you don't care about the Rock and Roll for Hall of Fame, it's interesting if you like music.
That sounds good. I'm going to check it out.
Colin Crawford is on this episode, and he yelled out B.B. Mac so loud when he was guessing that I laughed out loud because it was like, you know, no one wants to ever aggressively be like, I know that's B.B. Mac.
Is B.B. Mac the one that's like, and now you're back here, baby?
I don't remember
Miss
how it goes.
You want you.
It was just like the beginning of the song was funny. I was like, I would never admit that I knew that was B.B. Mac just from a few bars.
No, they were like the lowest tier of boy bands.
It made me laugh because we've previously talked a lot about boy bands,
yeah,
and they've never come up.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
weren't they British? Maybe they were bigger in Britain.
I don't know enough about them. I remember the name and the song was vaguely familiar in a way that it probably could have been a million different people.
I hated that song. I really did. I thought it was just so boring. Okay, yeah, back here. That is them. That came out in 2000. Oh, they had a song on the Princess Diaries soundtrack. That's the only song of theirs I know is "And Now We're Back Here, Baby." They are British.
Oh,
miss you.
There's something sad about the British boy bands.
Okay, but what about Robbie Williams?
I like him. He's the only one I like. What was his band? Take Five?
It was Take Five, and I do like the "Whatever You Say." Whatever, you know that song?
A part of me was just like, "You're cool. You're British. Why are you trying to be like an American boy band?" Do you
know because what I mean? There's so many. I don't know. Okay. I do, yeah. There are some very funny British boy bands, but I do think, I do believe in the hype around like British music. Like, I feel like in terms of like British people did the like early 2000s disco dance revival so well, you know, like Jamiroquai.
Oh, I'm not insulting British musicians.
Right, but their boy bands are like, I mean, and we're probably biased because we just don't like boy bands in general. That's like not our thing.
Right. I do like some of the music though, but not the lower tiers.
But what was the one, "Baby When the Lights Go Out"? Was that British? I feel like they were British.
I mean, sometimes I might not have known they were British. Because I might have heard the song, but not like seen them in interviews or whatever.
Yeah. I'm going to have to do a deep dive later about all the British boy bands.
Yeah.
I do
what
know,
is Westlife?
Oh, they had to have been British, right?
I think so.
Westlife. I see that this is no, this they're is not for me. No, I'm just saying they're Irish.
Okay, but that's close enough.
they're Irish. They're from Dublin. I don't even know their song, but they were the same era.
Yeah, totally.
Westlife. I'm trying to remember the one that was "Baby When the Lights Go Out." That song was okay. I don't know if they were British though, but I feel like they were.
What's that song? Look it up. You gotta now.
Okay, it was Five.
Five.
So not Take Five. Take Five. It's just Five. Let's see. They're British.
Okay.
They're British.
Wait, how do you name yourself Five and you're British and then there's a Take Five? I'm sorry.
Yeah, because Take Five is like the OG.
Yeah.
That's like the OG.
No, I'm a huge Robbie Williams fan. I love him.
Me too. I'm a gigantic fan of Robbie Williams.
But
they also had all those like, they had like the mixed gender boy/girl band, S Club 7.
Oh my God.
They were really big. Do you remember S Club 7?
I don't.
I'm pretty sure they were British. They weren't Australian. Yeah, they're British.
Anyway, I feel like that's what this podcast does. It makes you Google a lot.
I love that.
And it's really fun. I can't wait to go back and finish that countdown. I
love I
was
when
enjoying
a podcast
it.
Makes me waste time on Wikipedia.
Oh my God. Yeah. Cause
those are my favorites. So
no, I've Googled everything so far.
I like that guy's videos, Joe.
Oh,
he makes really funny videos. He made a video a few years ago that I always think about, and it was parodying like weird like 90s MTV bumpers, like commercials. And it was just like so Gen X and so spot on.
I think the thing I like about it is I think she's also has a background in comedy, but it's not like a try hard comedy. It's actually more into the Hall of Fame than trying to be funny, but then they obviously are funny.
Right.
Which is like really chill, low key vibe, which I liked a lot. It was very easy to listen to. And it's like, I'm going to go back and listen to the previous years too.
Yeah.
Because I want to hear the drafts. I want to hear what they got wrong. It's just fun.
I liked it.
It's good.
I love it. Anyway, I am still listening. I'm just about to wrap up my audiobook, the Andy Weir audiobook. So it's called Project Hail Mary. I've really enjoyed it. So now I'm kind of like looking through like the Hugo Award nominees and lists and like winners from the past mm-hmm. several years. Cause I'm kind of in like a sci-fi mode.
Right.
So I want to see like other, and I've been debating like whether or not I should do the Silo series or if I should just like wait. Cause like, I don't know.
I have that.
You have the books. Mm-hmm. Have you started them?
No.
I heard they're really good. I mean, obviously they were good enough to get a show made.
Right. Yeah. I want to read them.
When's Severance coming back?
Oh yeah. That seems like it's going to take a while.
Should we briefly discuss the finale of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City? I mean, the tell-all reunion finale?
I am disappointed.
Why?
Well, I don't like the story about the black guy.
You don't like Heather? Oh, yeah. I mean,
I think it was a letdown.
Because we all knew it was Jen, but she didn't explain how it happened. She just said we were blackout drunk. And like, and then she kind of alluded to that had that kind of thing. Like she did those kinds of things before.
Right. I don't know. It was hard to meet the end of the series. Do you know what I mean? With the finales. I mean, the what's it called? Reunion. It just was like, it was never going to be as good as the finale.
No, nothing was ever going to be as good as the finale. I think Monica didn't take any accountability for anything she did.
She could have played it way different.
And I think she's a fucking weirdo for watching security footage of Jen Shah in her, it's not just Jen Shah you're spying on. You're also spying on her kids and Coach Shah, which is weird behavior.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I do think that's... And driving past her house, like, I do think she was, like, so thirsty to be on this show that it's, like, such a turnoff to me.
I'll give her, like, one drive-by.
You can do one drive-by of Jen Shah.
Just for fun.
Yeah.
But when you're doing it more than time, then you're a stalker.
She's obsessed with Jen Shah, and she didn't really... I don't know. But I also agree. I think Heather's explanation, and I think I'm still baffled. I also believed Monica when she was like, genuinely, like the page was like mostly just about trying to expose Jen Shah and drag Jen.
I do. And that's why I think Monica failed at playing this correctly.
Yes.
She could have won 100%. But I think she failed by acting like... I didn't like the way she acted in the reunion.
That's what I'm saying. She took no accountability and she was like the victim and so combative.
I think it was like, yes, not taking accountability, but just the way she interacts to me is, it's like not funny. The way she's like, shut up, bitch. Just like the way she was constantly like, oh, shut up, bitch, you old bitch, or like whatever.
She's 40 and she's acting like a 15-year-old.
It just wasn't funny to me or cute. It's like, land some good insults. I don't mind that. Own someone's ass.
Yeah.
But when you're just telling people to shut the fuck up, it's old. Very, unless you do it one strategic, I'll give you one strategic shut the fuck up, bitch, if it's in a good place and kind of out of pocket and someone who deserves it.
Yeah.
Like not just someone speaking. It's like, I don't like reunions where people are like, don't expect other people to speak.
Yeah.
It's like, no, everyone's going to speak now. Like, yeah, don't interrupt. It's annoying, but you can't just, it's not a monologue. People are going to correct you or come in with their two cents. That's what the reunion is.
It got so rowdy. Andy had to break it up.
Yeah. So I feel like she could have come off. I don't even know if she had to apologize or be contrite, but just say, hey, like, here's what happened. It got a little out of hand. I definitely felt bad about befriending you guys and not telling you, but I didn't know how to do it. Like you could have just said something like that.
See, like it went on for so long and she could have admitted like, yeah, you guys got thrown under the bus. Like you guys caught strays in the process of me dragging Jen.
And I get why you're mad.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like you can do it in that way. And she just came in acting like she didn't do anything wrong. And I don't think she did anything wrong exposing Jen.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not including like stalking her and all that kind of stuff, but like Jen should have been exposed. And it is crazy that they're more mad about Monica than they are Jen, what Jen did. And then Heather, she doesn't win she didn't win me over because then she went on Watch What Happened Lives and was basically like, but that was Jen. Jen was being herself when she conned those old people. Monica was fake. Like saying That's stuff crazy. Like that is crazy to me. It's like, no, Jen is bad and deserved to go to prison for what she did and deserves to pay the price. What Monica did has nothing to do with Jen being rightfully where she is. Like, do you know what I mean? And you can't say to me, oh, she was real when she did that, at least. That's like,
no, she wasn't.
That's gross, though.
Yeah, that's gross.
Yeah, when you're conning people, it's the definition of not being real. Like, like that's not real.
Also, Jen was violent.
I mean, Heather should be embarrassed that she let this go on so long, and I think maybe that's what she's dealing with.
Andy was, like, mad at her at the reunion.
Yeah.
He was like, you, and I agree with him, he was like, you... Seriously, like you accused the producers of this show of doing like a physical assault. Like you didn't accuse them, but you like alluded to that.
She fucked up.
Cause she could, he was right. He was like, you put people's jobs and like reputations at risk.
Right. Cause it's like, that's an unsafe work environment. Sounds like if we don't know what happened, like, cause she almost made it seem like someone might've come in.
That's right.
Yeah. And it's just like,
cause she was so held
by deflecting. You're putting blame somewhere else. Even if you're not intentionally saying they did it.
She even had like alluded to that. She's like, maybe someone came in my room.
I wish we had fucking video of this.
I know.
I fucking pray that it pops out somewhere because it's like, just tell us what you think happened. I don't buy for a second that you didn't go over in your mind for hours
how it could have happened.
There's no way.
Yeah.
And both of you were blackout drunk. I mean, it's possible, but one person probably remembers a little more, right?
Like, or how you think it could have happened.
Right. Was the lampshade, like a lamp on the floor? Do you know what I mean? Like, did you wake up on the floor? Do you know what I mean? Like, you would be able to kind of put it together, I think.
Lampshade.
I mean, the lamp, like she hit the lamp and it fell off on the, like, were there any clues that there was a struggle or an altercation?
Right.
I'm talking about like if she hit her head when Jen pushed her and a lamp fell over.
Right.
Like there would
right.
be some evidence that some kind of thing happened.
Like a struggle.
Yeah. Or some kind of push or whatever.
And she kind of said like, oh, this kind of stuff had happened with Jen before. Well, what kind of stuff? Like has Jen hit you before or has she threatened to hit you before?
I think Jen has gotten physical with her.
I mean,
even if it's just a shove.
I believe it because we saw during her seasons her smashing glasses and throwing drinks at people.
Oh, she's like has out of control anger issues. So in that state, people can do anything.
Yeah.
You don't know. Even if it's not intentional, but shoving someone makes them fall and hurt themselves.
Yeah.
You did that.
Right.
Even if you didn't mean to make them fall, like, so I feel like if Jen has done that before, she can say, look, here's what's happened in the past. So maybe it was something like that.
Right.
I mean, you could put it together and we know she's put it together in her mind.
Of course she has.
Any of us would have done that.
She's still protecting Jen in some way I don't know what she's protecting.
She thinks she's being a good friend. It's weird how she frames that. Like I'm being a good friend, unlike Monica. It's like, you're protecting a felon, like, who conned people.
Yeah.
I think you're allowed to be, like, not a good friend anymore.
Yeah.
Like,
she was never a good friend to any of you bitches.
Also, the fact that she is still working with Tanisha.
That's funny.
Like, how does she explain that?
Right.
How does she explain that?
Right.
Because I would be like, I can't work with you anymore. Even if I love you and you did my hair great, I can't really trust you. Because Tanisha was actually the person who betrayed her more than Monica.
They had a relationship.
They had a relationship.
That's her hairdresser.
That's like, so to me, it's weird. I think they just didn't want Monica on the show anymore. So they, even though they were upset, I think they beefed it up a bit to get her kicked off or to like antagonize her.
Yeah.
Because they wanted her gone.
And she is gone. She's not coming back. That's at least what we've heard.
Yeah. I mean, didn't Andy say she was on pause? But I don't think she's coming back.
We got the news around the same time the final episode of the reunion premiered. That
right.
It was like, and they filmed the reunion before that, obviously. So I don't know.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was fine. They really beefed up that black eye story, saving it to the end.
Like that we were going to get a detailed play-by-play of what happened that
night.
Because that's all we wanted to know because us, the audience, even before Heather confirmed it, we all knew Jen Shaw did it. Because how else would that have happened and who else would have done that?
And why else would Heather lie? Because remember, she was not saying, I was blackout drunk and don't remember. She was being shady. She was like, maybe not. Like she was doing things like that. Like, so it's like she gave us all the sense she actually did know what happened even back then.
Yeah.
Which made everyone believe that it was Jen. Cause why else would she do that? If she fucking fell and hit her head on the fucking lawn chair, she would have told us immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
But why not? It's like, you're such an idiot. Cause I would have just lied. If I was going to lie, I would have lied from the get-go and gave a reason for what happened.
Like,
I would have said, I fell off the bed. I was drunk and then I hit my eye on the fucking nightstand.
And not hemmed and hawed and made such a big deal because that led so many, the fact that she made it so mysterious made it. Like,
she could have just lied from the get-go. It's crazy that she didn't. Like, if you're going to go down that route, right? Like,
yeah.
It's so weird. Because
then that's like, well, now we really think Jen did it.
Right. So it's like, either say you're blackout drunk or come up with a lie. Like,
yeah,
that's believable, which would have been very easy. Because it's like, they were all drunk. So I don't know. It's just weird. I'm just so on the fence with Heather. Like, sometimes I'll like her a lot. And then sometimes I'm like,
yeah.
What's her deal? I can't quite make it out. And I'm also kind of like, what's next season going to be?
Yeah, we're all kind of like, what's next season going to be? But I did see a tweet that I liked that was like, we all thought season 4 was going to be a dud because Jen Shaw wasn't going to be on the season, but look what happened. They turned out the best. But how are they going to top?
This is not going to get topped. So that's, we have to all go into it with that assumption, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it can't be a good season.
Right.
But this would be very difficult to top because you'd have to intentionally be trying to, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe Monica will pop up mid-season and everyone will be like, you know.
I kind of hope she does.
She's a friend of Mary's, like.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Monica's going to be fine.
Really? I've been wondering, like, where does she go from here? Who's going to hire her? What's she going to do?
I think she'll write a book.
Okay.
I think she'll write a book. I think she'll do some other reality show stuff like The Traitors and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm not saying she's going to be a famous millionaire.
Right.
But I think she'll get some stuff out of this.
Yeah.
And she'll get, you know, she's got a huge following now.
So she can do her like Etsy baby swaddle business.
By the way, I keep always seeing people bitch about these swaddle blankets, like she's just cutting fabric. But those are a thing people buy, thin swaddling blankets that aren't really you don't sew them.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a thing, but people are, she doesn't even, it's like, that's a thing though. I mean, I'm not saying I'd buy it from Monica, but it is a thing.
Well, now she has like people who, like her business, like she's probably has a lot more orders now because of her status.
Today she posted all these.
Do you follow her on Instagram?
Of course. Of course.
Oh my God. What'd she post?
She posted all these stories of her donating those swaddling blankets to different hospitals.
Mm.
I guess because people were mean to her about it. So she's like, I also donate these. So I'm very charitable. You know, it's always good when you have to show everyone that you're a good person.
God, what a mess.
I mean, I don't know if I'll follow her long, but
yeah,
it was in the moment. I was like, well, I'm going to see what she's doing now. Like while this is going on, I was interested in her, how she handles it.
Yeah.
I wish I was like her mentor. Cause I feel like I could have navigated her through this where she came out looking better.
Right. Yeah. She needed like a good person on her team to figure this out. I don't know. I don't know if it was salvageable because it is such weirdo behavior.
I think it was maybe salvageable to a point. Like you can't excuse certain things, obviously, like the camera stuff. But let's say you took that out. I think a villain is salvageable, but they have to be likable in some way. And she was just going on all cylinders to be the villain. And I feel like the villain doesn't know they're the villain. Do you know what I mean? Like, they think they're good.
She had Jen Shaw energy, which is, like, the funny thing, because she was so reactive, just like Jen was reactive. Like,
yes.
Monica would just fly. Like, she had no chill.
Yes. That's what I just don't really like reactive personalities, because Jen would always, like, trigger me when she would do
me
that
too.
Stuff.
Me too.
And it's probably, like, from our histories dealing with people like
who are
that.
Reactive.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like that at all. So even with Monica, it's like, ugh. Like,
no,
stop.
She, there was something about, like, that reactiveness was something that just turned me off and about her from day one, even though she was, like, people really liked her, and I really loved her on the show. I thought, like, she was a great addition, but just personality-wise,
right.
I was, like, triggered by that.
No,
for
I don't
sure.
like when people go off. It's like, calm down. Like, let's see if this is a misunderstanding.
Right.
Before you're all like, you ugly, dumb bitch. Like, they just go off in ways where it's like, well, now we can't take that back.
Yeah.
Like, one of the funniest reactive things that is amusing and doesn't trigger me was when Lisa got caught on a hot mic going off on Meredith. like a few seasons ago. Do you remember that?
But she was just like really angry in that moment.
And she wasn't doing it publicly, but that was funny because that's enjoyable to me because she thought she was alone and we all do crazy things when we're alone in our heads or whatever.
That was a great moment.
So that's like how I can enjoy a reactive response.
Yes.
Private, when it's supposed to be private.
Yeah, she had taken a pause and then went on a rant in like her closet or whatever.
Yeah, that I liked seeing.
That was funny.
Because she can keep it together in the moment. And that's why we love Lisa in a way.
Yeah, she's funny. What else? Is there anything else great? Drag Race is good. New Drag Race episode tonight.
I did finally start True Detective, but I fell asleep. Oh, not because of the show. I started it too late. And it's very dark.
It's very dark.
I needed to start it earlier because it was kind of like, ooh, I'm sleepy now. I like seeing Jodie fuck. I did see her get railed.
Oh, you saw that part?
Yeah.
Where she gets fucked.
I might have fallen asleep and woken up to seeing her get railed.
Yeah. You're like, all right, okay.
That was a weird thing to wake up to. She's like bent over getting fucked. I was like, you don't often see Jodie Foster get fucked like that anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
No. I mean,
it's good. I'm glad. I'm happy.
She's buff. She's muscular.
Oh, yeah.
She looks great.
Yeah, she looks good. So I was happy. I was happy for her.
Yeah.
She got some.
She got some. Okay. What did you eat? Protein? Did you have your protein today?
No, I had a chocolate almond pressed juice.
Wow.
I had just grabbed it to go. You know, you grab and
that's
go something.
That's not enough protein.
Well, I'm not saying it was my protein meal. I was like, I haven't eaten much today. So I was like, shit, I need something. So I grabbed that to come over here so I didn't like pass out.
Yeah.
No, I need to eat some more food for sure. I'm not suggesting this as a meal. It was just all I had.
Yeah.
So I need to go to the grocery store and get some like chicken breast.
Ugh.
And like vegetables.
I want to die.
And some fruit, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, I'm trying to think if I did. No, I didn't have anything interesting. I mean, you're sending me a lot of pictures. I want that pineapple donut.
I know. I've like been sending Desi pictures of all these foods around Los Angeles that I want to eat and Trejo's donuts.
Well, it's sad we don't live close anymore.
I know. They posted a picture of their pineapple fritter and it looked so good. Cause I knew that would be right up your alley because you're not the biggest apple in dessert fan. And traditionally it's like an apple fritter, but this looked so good.
I'm a huge fan of pineapple.
It's Danny Trejo's favorite donut. It's this pineapple fritter.
And it has like a cinnamon glaze, which sounds so yummy to me. I was actually thinking because there's a store I want to go to over there. So when you sent that, I was like, well, I might be over there soon. Maybe I should stop by. But
yeah.
I need to like, you know, I don't know. Is that like a special, like a limited time?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so because it said it was on the post on Instagram. It was like, this is Danny's favorite. So maybe it's not. I don't think it's limited. Oh,
so I've never seen it there when I have gone.
It might be newer.
Yeah, it looks so good. And then there was a new restaurant I definitely want to go to in Atwater, Holy Basil, that Thai restaurant.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I've always wanted to go there, but it's downtown, which is like more difficult.
But
to deal
now
with.
They have one in Atwater.
Yeah, and it's a sit down. I think the other one is just like a to go window type place. I might be wrong. But it's famously a to-go place.
Yeah.
So I think I know where it is based on a picture I saw. So I'm kind of excited because I love a good Thai restaurant.
Yeah, of course.
And they looked like they had some good shrimp.
Those shrimp looked delicious.
I know.
You
sent me. Like, I want like a few orders of that.
Yeah.
We got to get our own order.
Of course. I'm not sharing with you, Desi.
That's just a few on a skewer.
I need more shrimp.
So that, I know the food in LA is so good. Why is it so good?
We're in such a bountiful time in LA food history.
I just feel like every day it's like a new place pops up.
I know we're in the golden age of restaurants here. It's beautiful.
So good. One thing I do want to get back into though is like baking complicated things.
Oh,
like getting back into my learning how to laminate dough and et cetera.
Yeah.
Because that's a fun wintertime thing, and I can just, like, give it to people and not eat it all.
Yeah, doing lamination during the winter is a lot easier than doing it during the summer.
Yes. Yes. So I might get back into that. I'm going to, jump back into the French Baking Club, maybe.
On our Discord.
Because I'm in the mood to, make some creations.
Yeah.
And try some things. So I have, a lot of... I got this cute cookbook from Kim Joy from British Baking Show. And it's all desserts that look like cats.
I love that.
So it's a lot of decorating techniques. And it looks really fun. So maybe I'll make something from that, too, just to have fun. I want to do some creations.
I want to go to Japantown.
We should do that, too. That'll be fun.
I
want to
go now. I want to go right now. I do. I really want to go right now. Yeah, I've just been like...
We should go downtown and do a lot of walking. Do you know what I mean?
Can we go this week?
Yeah. Maybe we can go this weekend.
I'm around, Desi. You know my... Yeah. Wait, it is this weekend. It's Friday.
It is? We don't even know.
I don't even know what day it is anymore. It is Friday.
Friday.
I would love to go to Japantown.
Okay.
This weekend.
Sounds good.
I'd love to go right now, but I'm sure you have stuff to do today.
I'm just kind of apprehensive about going this late.
I know.
To downtown.
I know.
It's one of those things you have to kind of plan.
Yeah, because
I've also wanted to go to the museum.
Right.
Just because I haven't been to a museum in a while.
Yeah, we need some culture.
Walked around. We need some culture.
We need some culture.
I just think we could do a downtown day.
Okay.
Because there's always things I want to do down there, but I'm always like, ugh.
There's so many restaurants downtown too that I still haven't been to because it's downtown and I'm so like, even though I live really close to downtown.
It's just a thing.
It's a thing. It's such a fucking production.
Because there's a lot of cute little neighborhoods with really cool shops, but they're not really connected.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of poke around, but then it's really hard to park usually.
Yeah.
So it's like, there's some obstacles.
It's the parking and the driving downtown that stresses me out.
But yeah, I definitely want to go and we'll just pick a few neighborhoods.
Remember when we went to Smorgasbord?
I want to go back to that area though, because they have really good parking. So they did a good job.
Yeah.
They have a huge free parking lot that everyone was able to use. But I think they've put in more stores and restaurants there. Like they have the Pano Bianco. The Pizzeria Bianco, which I like both of those restaurants. The sandwiches are so good. And then they had a really good coffee place there. And I think they have more shops there now.
So
it might be fun.
Did you see James got that Marc Maron sandwich?
Yes, I did. We got to get that.
We got to get that. It looked really good. He sent us a picture of it. And it was like the wrap sandwich with 12 greens in it.
I feel like if James liked it, we're going to like it.
Yeah, because... Yeah, I trust him.
I trust him, and he's like us. He kind of likes junk food and crap food and gourmet.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? It's not he's not like a only gourmet or only crap.
But he also is a food lover, and when I know somebody is a food lover, I will trust their opinion.
Also, I always trust someone who's kind of like a meat eater who likes something vegan.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Because they're like, it's good.
If it has crossover appeal.
Yeah, if it has crossover appeal, you know it's good. That's just how I judge things.
Dude, I'm eating so much protein right now. I'm working on my gains.
I'm eating a lot of protein too. It's gross.
I'm really working on my gains. I had protein powder in my oatmeal this morning.
Really?
It was like bodybuilder.
You know it's serious when you're putting it in your regular food.
Yeah, when you're just like sneaking protein powder in places. But I do the protein powder I use is the Vital Proteins unflavored collagen powder.
Does it change the texture?
No, it doesn't.
So that's
good. It's like almost too good to be true, but it's not.
I know, I'm like waiting for the but report. It does make you immensely constipated.
No,
I'm waiting for the catch.
No, I love, I wish they were a sponsor of the podcast because I consume Vital Proteins collagen protein powder every day.
Yeah. Wow. So we're not even getting paid to say
I'm
this.
Not even getting paid to
okay,
say that.
I'm going to try it.
It is so good. And the
chocolate
flavor.
You know what's funny?
Flavor.
I found a bag of powder. in my pantry. And I actually think it was Vital Protein that you gave me to try.
Yeah.
But it was so long ago. I was like, what the fuck is this? And I just threw it away. But yeah. Now I'm like, oh, maybe it was that collagen powder.
No, it's the best because it's the flavorless kind. It doesn't change. It's just flavorless.
Because that's the thing I like, flavorless. And I also like when it doesn't change the, like, it doesn't taste like, you know,
no, there's no
gelatinous
there's
or something.
No chalky anything. It's not
viscous.
No, it's good. And the chocolate one is incredible too.
Ooh, okay.
I don't like the vanilla one. I tried the vanilla and surprisingly I was disappointed.
Because sometimes I feel like vanilla flavor can be very fake tasting.
It was like a little chalky or like it had that weird aftertaste, but yeah. The chocolate one doesn't.
Okay.
And it adds sweetness.
I think chocolate cuts some of the whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like
that weird,
it's like taste. A strong flavor.
No, it was really delicious. I love that protein powder.
Okay.
I'm getting die hard.
I'm only getting it next time. That's it. That's my protein powder.
Cause I can't do whey.
Yeah. I don't mind the whey, but I'd prefer something, less flavor. Like I'd prefer no flavor to be honest.
This is no flavor.
Yeah.
So you can put it in anything.
It also seems like you use a smaller amount, which I like. No.
I mean, I do the recommended, the 27 grams of it. I mean,
right.
27, which is like two scoops.
Okay.
It seems like a lot when you're putting it in, but it's like
it
not.
Disappears. What it's, is, that's so crazy. What is that? It's kind of creepy.
That's why I'm saying it feels.
Like, how is that so much protein in a little scoop?
It feels too good to be true, but it's not.
Okay. I'm going to get some gains too.
I'm working on my gains and you got to eat a lot of protein when you're working on your gains.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Anyway, we also wanted to mention, in case you did not know, that at the $10 tier, we have added an additional perk. This is in addition to our content that you get at the $10 tier. We are recapping our favorite episodes of Law & Order SVU right now.
Right.
So, and we will expand into the franchise. Like we'll down the road, we'll do like Criminal Intent and OG Law and Order. But right now we're focusing on SVU and we already have one episode posted. We'll have another one up this weekend. And also at the $5 tier, we just wrapped season one of the Ashley Simpson show and we're going to do season two next.
Yeah.
And I've had so much fun recapping that with you, Desi.
Yeah, it's been fun.
I really loved our most recent episode we did. I had such a joy recording it.
No, that was really fun and crazy.
Yeah, we went on a long sidebar, but I thought it was a productive sidebar for the good of the greater good.
Look, you know, sometimes she doesn't give us enough. And luckily we're able to fill in the gaps.
Yeah, sometimes Ashley Simpson, she did not give us anything that episode. I mean, she always gives us a little something, but sometimes like...
It wasn't as juicy as the previous weeks. So
yeah.
Luckily we're there to fill in all the 2000s blanks.
Yeah, it's a lot of... It's just if you want to hear us talk about 2004, tune in to the Ashley Simpson show recaps.
And even sometimes we go a little... Before 2004,
right.
We go to 1998.
We spent like 20 minutes talking about 1998. And you know what? It was some great work by us.
We were laughing still after we stopped recording talking about
swashbuckling.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
That was really funny. I was like crying.
I loved it. And in case you don't follow our other podcast called Bitch Slap, we did a really great episode there recently too. And yes. That's free.
Yeah.
It has ads, but it's free.
You can go there and people who say that they like listening to it, even though they don't watch the show.
If you don't want to follow along and watch arguably the greatest show of all time, Melrose Place, that's fine. Just think of it as like you're listening to an audio drama.
Yes. Yeah. It's fun.
With lots of impressions.
Yeah. I think that's all I got.
And my mom loved our Jay Leno impression.
I know. I was happy to get an impression compliment.
Yours was.
I don't really do impressions.
I'm the Henry Zebrowski of this podcast.
Yeah, you've watched it enough. that you know how to do them all.
Oh my God.
All the characters.
On Melrose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can just do Joe and Billy.
Dude, you're Billy. Your Billy is really good though. anyway, so yeah, that's called Bitch Slap, one word, and that's anywhere you get your podcasts. We've been doing it for like over a year.
Really? Oh my God.
Yeah, well over a year.
Yeah, so there's a lot of episodes there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Patreon.com/HollywoodCrimeScene. I'll have a link in the show notes. Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.